This is Plus Money Golf on the Patriot Sports Network. A golf betting podcast that's
better than most.
What he said.
How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
And now, here are your hosts, Adam, Smitty, and Eric.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Plus Money Golf and Fantasy Sports Corp Network. All we do is win, win, win. Live on all formats tonight. So, good tournament last week. A little different format. Rory finally gets on the board. Shane Lowry finally gets on the board when Smitty didn't pick him for first time in 6 weeks.
Oh, my God. Dude, yeah. The worst part is, you know, I was flipping back on my sheet here and looking at my picks that did not go all that well again. But here sits, like, on my outrights, I had Lowry McIlroy plus 750, and I crossed it out last second. I added somebody else. Like, I just and we talked about that. You were like, you can't trust these guys. Like, and then all of a sudden that happens. I mean, that's just the lack of consistency has been what is really frustrating, I think, the most. And that the fact that we know that they have it in their bag, but we have no idea when. And I don't know. And, like, I always seem to get off the wagon, I guess, one week early.
We should have looked at, like, their Ryder Cup stats playing together to see. They clearly gel together well, so.
They do. But, I mean, they had some hiccups early on in the tournament, too, though, where it's just like, well, these guys aren't going to win.
Then, you had to take a deep, too.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, some of the guys we thought would, I mean, the outright favorites didn't even do well.
Right.
The Garland really Zalatoris didn't do shit.
Right. And I thought that was a great pairing, and that didn't work out very well at all.
Fitzpatrick's did good. And then they almost got into a fight, and then they kind of played their way into an 11th.
I know.
The ones that shocked me the most was, like, the Tway Craft get 11th, Goddard and Ekro get 11th. I mean, that was pretty good. Those were off the wall picks. And,
I mean, my one hit, Taylor and Hadwin, in the top 10, like, I thought, like, they had a shot to really win it there too for a while. And they just kind of, you know, fizzled out. Like you said, like, you had to go deep in your bag, man. You're talking 25 under. It still doesn't win you the tournament. And you have to go to a playoff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's, you know, it's one off events. And after all the big weeks, it's just difficult. I mean, clearly this was a good format to have this time of year.
Well, hopefully everybody loved the birdie fest, because we're about to have another one of those this week. So
yeah, we're ramping back up to, you know, getting close to another major.
Yep.
Today was the last day of the Club Pro Championship. A couple of my buddies were playing, didn't make the cut. Ben Polan wins. And the kid, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, has, like, a 2-shot lead, needs to make nothing worse than bogey in the last hole to close out and win, and hits it in the ditch and then makes double and loses. And it was, like, you know, terrible heartbreak for him. He still got in the PGA Championship, but yeah, it was awesome to see him win. And then it was quite, Michael Block didn't do much. Didn't do much this week. He was thinking he made the cut, but he didn't do anything. But it's good to see a lot of club pros, but this year there'll be a lot of new faces in the, as far as the club pros going into the PGA Championship. So
that's, which would be cool
to see. So,
yeah, it'd be fun.
But yeah, it was good tournament to watch. $60,000 for a club pro to win a tournament's pretty good. And
yeah, that's good money
there. Made. So that's another 10, 15, you know, these Titleist guys get $25,000 if they win, just for winning this tournament plus the 60. So, you know, like my buddy Alex Beach has pulled down 100K a couple times on this event. So that's great for these club pros. You know, this is our major as a PGA professional. This is the one everybody wants to get to. It's the hardest one to get to and the hardest one to win. There was 220 something guys playing 30, you know, they played both courses at the new PGA Village in Frisco.
Yeah.
Good event. Course, I don't know, seemed like it was really difficult. It was super windy. They had like a 6 hour rain delay the first day. Then the wind was blowing. It was like off and on, and it's just a wide open links course. So a lot of these guys probably never played anything like this. He was the only one. I think, yeah, Ben Pollan was the only one that had three of the four rounds under par.
Wow.
Finished at two under, and second place was one over. So the guy that got the last spot, Wyatt Worthington, was basically in the lead the whole week, and he's 80 today and gets the last qualifying spot at plus five. So yeah, it was pretty cool to watch. Get to see fellow pros, get to see buddies on there playing and playing well. Buddy Alex Beach made the cut, but didn't finish well. So, but yeah, good tournament to watch along with trying to watch this. So
yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we want to move into this week here a little bit and talk about, the CJ Cup, right? The Byron Nelson.
I thought this was a elevated event, but it's not.
No. Yeah. Is it next week? That's an elevated event.
I think so. So
I believe it. I believe it's a no cut next week.
This is going to be tough for Scotty if this is a elevated event this week.
Which it makes. Well, it makes sense then. Looking at the field, you know, like this is the one where a lot of the guys are just taken off.
Yeah,
a lot of the top names are taken off. You have the guys, you know, the Texas guys that are there, and you know, wanting the guys who play well in Texas that are there. You know, TPC Craig Ranch, like the thing I've seen multiple people on tour talk about this course, and they basically say the only thing that protects it out there is protects the course is wind, and we're gonna have wind this week at this course. Which makes a very one of the longer courses on tour, makes it much longer. But if you look in the same sense, you look at everything, you look at the scoring, it's a birdie fest. These dudes are going to be going after it. You know, you talk about, the only defense being those, you know, quote unquote, those Texas winds, but, you know, as Bermuda rough, but that doesn't seem to really penalize these guys at all. They just kind of do what they want.
It looks pretty, I mean, there's like two ponds, but one pond in play, and then the rest is just a creek that winds down through there. So
yeah, there's
it's spread out course.
It's got extremely wide fairways, you know, so you're looking at, you know, is driving accuracy all that important? Not really. Seeing as, you know, that they're pretty wide. I believe they're like the eighth widest fairways. There's three par fives that are reachable, under 575 yards. There's three of them. And then, six par fours at 465 yards or more. And then you got the long par threes, which we've talked about many times, like those aren't really a thing. Although wind, when you have over 200 yards with a bunch of wind,
yeah,
that's where it makes those holes challenging. So I'm interested for that. Like you said, the water, there's eight holes that technically have water danger on there. But they're not super major, issues there. But like you got these guys who can really sling it off the tee. That's what you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have some longer on your par fours. You're going to have some longer approach shots if you're not getting off the tee rather big, you know.
Spieth hasn't won this event.
He has not. Wow. No,
it's got to be the last one on the Texas swing that he hasn't won. I think Jason Day's defending champion. Mm-hmm. KH Lee's won twice.
Yep, KH Lee won.
Horschel.
Yeah.
Jason Day's won this twice, 2010 and 2023.
Yeah, it's a quite the stretch. And I was looking at that too. Quite the stretch in between wins there, 13 years. And, you know, did you hear there was an interview that I saw, and I don't know, scrolling through Twitter about him and talking about how his there's a difference in his game. He feels like when he's playing for the like and the love of the game rather than having a chip on his shoulder, and he's kind of getting back now to just having a like and a love for the game, and that he feels like that's going to turn him in the right direction. So maybe he's a guy to look at this week. I'm not sure. I just can't get over the fact of his apparel that he wears. So
yeah,
that's just atrocious, but
it's gotta be better this week. I hope.
I would think so.
Doubt it.
I think he, well, it wasn't as terrible. It was just the Masters. Yeah. The Masters was so bad. I think they were trying to make a statement.
Yeah. You know, I saw the thing where they like posted some looks and what they were supposed to be based on. And it was like, I get it. But the theme, when you're trying to theme it off of 1980s golf, it just doesn't work.
For sure. You know, back to this course though, Craig Ranch, like the greens are typically a little bit slower than normal, I would say. Just slightly below average in speeds. I think they said on average they run at like 11 and a half, which is, I would say, a little bit slower than normal. Usually you see 12 or a little bit higher. And if it's going to be raining and it's going to be windy, a course that already is a little bit over 7,400 yards makes it a lot longer. So it's going to be a little bit more challenging, especially when greens are already slow. And now they're going to be slower because of the rain. I think we might see some guys on the greens, like just shaking their heads and be like, what the heck, when they hit the ball, because it didn't go where they wanted it to. Right. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It looks like a typical TPC course to me.
Yeah. Yeah. All the correlated courses are all TPC courses. So like it's your traditional TPC course. There's nothing really crazy about it. You know, it talks about Deer Run. It talks about Detroit. It talks about Scottsdale, Twin Cities. I mean, those are all the correlated courses. Yep. So they're all similar courses, right? It's just the different demographic of where they are.
I didn't see JT posting on the list for playing this week.
I did not see that either.
Yeah, I just played TPC Deer Run on Monday, and it's in pretty good shape already. I mean, for as much rain as they've had down there, the rough was starting to juice up on 18 and a few of the other holes. So if it stays rainy like it has been so far this year, that's going to be brutal. But it was good. After I watched a lot more of the Deer Run last year, I used a little more strategy this year playing it, or this year playing it from last year, had better results. So. But yeah, this just looks like every other TPC track.
Right. It really does. Like it's not.
So that brings some of our, they do have a stadium hole there with, where they have the stands all the way around. I'm trying to see what hole that is, but it's, they do the whole grandstand, AT&T grandstands or whatever around. It's like, it's not AT&T anymore. It'll be CJ, but that'll be cool. Maybe we'll get some good TV coverage from Smiley.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, I mean, you can look at the field. It's not super strong. Jordan Spieth is probably the biggest name there, except for the guys that we follow typically.
Right.
But it's still a decent field coming off of, you know.
Yeah, there's some well-known players that are on here. They're just not tier one players, right? Like there's some very good, very, very good golfers in this tournament this week. You're just not seeing the big dogs outside of, you know,
which I don't know if that's much for Spieth when he's the favorite and he's at 1600.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
It is a little bit.
It's going to win. I guess see how Jordan plays the front nine and then they'll adjust odds.
Yeah, I mean it's him and Siwoo that are, you know, the only two guys that are under 20 to 1, and then everybody goes 22 to 1 or worse from there. So I mean it falls off to 40 to 1 pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think there's a really large grasp necessarily by Vegas understanding like who's gonna win this week because of the field, and it's just a little bit of a, because you look at like Spieth and Siwoo and you see Jason Day and Adam Scott's up there, right?
Yeah.
Like, when Adam Scott is in the top five favorites to win a tournament, that changes things drastically.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good ball striker, but he hasn't done anything
up there though now.
Yeah. I saw that. That was the first one that stood out to me. And Tom Hoagie's cracking that top 10 favorite list, Alex Noren, Keith Mitchell. So yeah, I noticed Maverick McNealy kind of moved up from the bottom scroll of the list too.
I knew for sure that you would mention Maverick McNealy a little bit this week. I mean, and he's sitting at a very, very tasty 45 to 1 to win this thing. I mean, he's 4.5 to 1 to place in the top 10, which is kind of nice as well. But there's some guys that are in here. You know, you got like
Yeah, like Kevin Tway's been playing good. I mean, I've kind of been on him last year, but the last 2 weeks he played really good in the opposite field event. I think he finished top five. And then last week, you know, in a goofy team event, plays pretty well. So yeah.
You got your boy Kevin Tway at plus 18,000.
Yeah, that's a lot. It is. That's a lot for me. Stretch. he's at 1,400 for a top 10, so that's more realistic.
So is your boy Godrup.
I know.
Godrup's at
played well last week too. So.
I mean, you got guys down way down in the bottom like that. The people know a fan favorite like Joel Damon sitting there at 1,800 for a top 10. 25,000 for the win. I mean, obviously
Toasty's at 10,000.
Oh yeah, saw that. Even a guy like Nick Hardy, right? Like,
yep.
Plus 13,000, 1,100 for a top 10. That's,
you know, Chesson Hadley's at 13,000 and he plays well in these TPC layouts. Like, he's a deer guy. He plays good at TPC Twin Cities. He plays good at the Barbasol. So
a guy that can hit it can hit it far, right? You know, another guy sitting there too that I see that hasn't been playing great golf this year, but a guy that has played well in the past in events like this is Davis Riley.
Yeah.
And he's sitting at plus 11,000 to win. Like, that's nuts. but plus 900 for a top 10. I mean, that's some crazy stuff there.
Yeah. Maybe we get a first time winner this week.
I mean, it's possible looking at this list.
It's Maverick McNeely's never won an event, right? He's like,
I don't believe so.
He's on the list of the non-winners.
Mm-hmm. Seamus Power's in there at 50-1.
Yeah,
that's an interesting pick right there. That's getting a lot of value, I think, right there. I mean, if you want a real long shot, I think like Power might be one of the guys to take at 50-1.
Yeah. Bo Hostler's at 60-1. He's been playing pretty good too. In the Texas events anyways. But yeah, it's
just Aaron Rye at 60-1. That's a weird, like, he's a guy that could play
good last week.
He can play really, really well, but then all of a sudden he can kind of fade away too. So it's kind of like, which week is his week? And I think you gotta look at guys that can play in the win, and you gotta look at guys that
play the TPC courses. Yeah.
Yeah. And go toe to toe with, like, TPC courses mean birdie fest, right?
Yep.
And so you got guys that got to be able to make birdie putts, and
except for Sawgrass is probably the only outlier, but yeah, all the other ones are like 20 plus.
Right.
So yeah, it should be a good event. I mean, it's not a super strong field, but it's got a lot of these guys that have been steady top 10, top 20 every single week. So for some of these guys, it's a good week to pick up some points and maybe get into next week's event.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's some real opportunity here for, like, I would say 10 to 12 of these guys that have a legitimate shot to win, right? And be like, or just finish in the top 10, top five, and really get some points because,
next week's a signature event. So you want to get in.
Yeah, without question.
We should say something on the Corn Ferry. That high school kid got an exemption.
Yeah,
I wanted to bring that up by too. Like two, but shoots under par every round, so he hasn't shot over par yet in a professional round, which is
incredible. Impressive. It's incredible. He's a freshman in high school.
Yeah, you think about Tiger, you think about Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, all these guys that were like Ricky Fowler, that were Charles Howell, that were unbelievable junior golfers that got exemptions as high school players, and they weren't doing what that kid's doing.
No.
It goes back to my point, you know, you don't have to hit it far off the tee, and it's an advantage, but this kid's hitting at 280 and he's playing 7,000 yard courses with guys that are hitting at 330 and holding his own at 15 years old. It's pretty crazy. I mean, the kid's clearly got a future.
No doubt.
It sounds like he just runs through everything in junior golf, and he'll probably do the same thing in college. So you hate to see a kid like that burn out, but he seems to have staying power. It'd be interesting to see in November when he's playing in a tour event, how he does.
I mean, as far as burning out, like, I mean, do you think if he's starting to play now in more, obviously in the Corn Ferry Tour events and everything, and he's starting to get that big time competition now, like you said, if he's just burning through juniors, I mean, he's less likely to burn out now, wouldn't you think? Because now he's got he's got something in front of him where he's like, man, I didn't make the cut. But
I think if he can get through high school, like, I feel like you could lose interest if he's just like going to every AJJ event and just working every kid. Like, eventually the winning gets old, you know, you just want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, maybe if he gets into college and does pretty well, but doesn't, you know, win every single event, he's maybe just like one and done, which we see more often.
This guy's where is he from? Is he from Texas?
I think he's from Florida.
I'm trying to find that right now.
Yeah, I'd have to look and see boards. That's already going to have last week's, but yeah, I think he's from Florida. I'll have to check into that.
Yeah. I never looked to see where he was from. I mean, he's just like, you're talking like history in the making, right? Like, he's the youngest golfer to ever make the cut of a Corn Ferry Tour like event. That's nuts. I mean, you've got guys that are literally on the cusp of making the PGA Tour, right? And he's just jumping in there as a high school freshman and going to work.
Yeah, and doing well.
Yeah. It does suck that, you know, he's taking home a whopping $0.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other conversation to have at another time, I guess. But it's exciting for golf because you look for these young phenoms and hopefully they keep it rolling, like you said, and they don't fizzle out or have some sort of injury or try to change something and then they just go to shit. But I mean,
he's got to be getting some money because he's got a staff deal with TaylorMade. So,
okay.
Yes. Average driving distance is 281, which is, you know, about as far as I hit it. Longest drive's 380. Greens in regulation, 78%, scrambling 50%, putts per green in regulation, 1.7. Said his tour stats for last week, 9 birdies, 5 bogeys, 22 pars.
Wow.
So yeah, he's pretty good.
You know, you say that, like, I bet you
Jacksonville, Florida.
That he's from Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
So I wonder, and I don't know specifically, but there's been a lot of talks now in the high school ranks, just being a high school coach myself, right, about NIL. And there's like 34 states now that have incorporated some type of NIL deal and it's basically going to cater to the elitist. So like that kid would probably qualify. So that would make sense why, if he has something going with, you said TaylorMade, right?
Yeah. TaylorMade and Nike.
That would make a lot of sense then, obviously.
How does that? So like, you live in the worst state possible for junior golf in our area, I would say, because like a kid, let's say a kid like him's an elite junior golfer. They can go to an event and they can't, if like, say the prize is a golf bag, they can't accept that prize because it's goes against whatever you can win. And was according to Wisconsin school, whatever. Cause I had a kid that was a pretty elite junior golfer at my club when I was a pro in Wisconsin. And his dad said they go to AJJ events. They can't accept gifts. They can't accept prizes. They can't accept anything because it goes against the rules. And it would basically keep him from playing high school golf.
Yep.
Which is crazy because we have kids in Iowa that when the Iowa place high enough in the Iowa Open, they get $400 or $500 gift card and they can take it.
Yeah. You know. So it'd be interesting. We should, I wonder, so there's one of the drive chip and putt winners this year, McKenna Nelson. She's from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. So it's like pretty close to where I'm from here. And it's where I used to coach and everything. And, you know, she would be somebody really great. I think if we want to have a conversation about that and how it works in Wisconsin, she would definitely know because she's been ripping through a lot of stuff, in her young career and everything around this area. And also like the challenges of being an elite junior golfer in the state of Wisconsin or somewhere in the Midwest where it's like, how do you stay sharp? How do you get the attention that all these other golfers are getting when they're playing year round and you can't necessarily unless you're traveling all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of kids at our club that go to other, they go to Arizona, they go to Florida, they go to California and play, go to Georgia, Texas.
But
yeah, you got to have the money. And money, if you're an elite player, that's unfortunately, that's what you got to do. And like, you know, I advised this kid in Wisconsin, like, unless you're dead set on, you want to be a state champion, there's nothing to prove. Take the prize. Like, you're going to get more of a college offer by playing AJGA and even playing in the Iowa tour than you're going to get from winning a high school tournament in Wisconsin, because everybody knows that the, you know, like the schools in our area, the high school championships don't mean as much as a high school championship in Texas or Oklahoma, because the kids play year round. The fields are deeper. The players are better. We don't have those seasons here.
Correct. Yeah. It's interesting. It'd be interesting to talk to like somebody from down south and then someone from up in the Midwest or the upper East Coast, those types of things, because it's such a different world when it comes to athletics. But when you're talking about outdoor athletics like golf, I mean, that's a whole different story. And just the opportunities there for younger people in the game of golf.
Yeah. To
not be able to take prizes and gifts and stuff. Like, that's it's insane. Just, that's outrageous. Like, for here, you know, it's a WIAA and like, they don't get it. And we're so far behind everybody in the state of Wisconsin in every aspect of athletics that it's gotten to the point where it's just super annoying. And,
I've advised kids, like, you know, unless you're, you know, like Tiger's prime example, like, you never won a state championship because he didn't play high school golf. Like, he just played the AJGA. Like,
well, they're different.
That's where you're going to get recognized.
Yeah. There are different rules for the elite, man. Yeah. Like, that's what a lot of people in our world today don't understand, is that, man, like, sometimes like, yeah, you might be a good player over here, but they're a great player.
Yeah.
And then that person over there is elite. So guess what? Great and good. Like,
yeah, I mean,
your pathway, your the way you get treated, unfortunately, right? Like, it's all different.
Yeah, my friend's son is going to play at Oklahoma State next year. He's a phenomenal golfer. I don't think he's lost a high school event this year. He just blows the fields away. And then he goes to AJGA and he wins some, but he gets top five, he gets top three. And it's like, you're winning the high school events by 10 and then you go to those. So it's like, unless you just really want to be a high school golfer, which I get, you should enjoy your high school career. But, for a kid like this Miles Russell, like, there's no, you've already made the cut on tour. There's no point. You have nothing to prove.
You have nothing to prove. Yeah. Like, what if you're already on the Korn Ferry Tour and you're competing. I mean, at that point, what the hell does a state championship mean?
It means nothing. It's like, you beat a bunch of high school kids. Like, you beat 75 tour players last week.
Right. Like,
and guys that have wins.
75% of the golfers you're going to be at the state tournament aren't even going to play in college.
Yeah.
And you know,
you're beating kids that probably won their state champion, high school championship, probably won maybe a national championship in college.
Right.
And you just ran them over at 15 because you don't care. So it's, golf's a different sport, like tennis, you know, I would say outdoor sports mainly. You can be elite and not have to compete at a high school level.
Yeah.
Cause you know, there's really no benefit to it. I wish they would just let these high school kids, you know, collect pro money. If they're going to give them NIL and they're going to give them staff deals, like, what's it matter if he took home $15,000?
I know.
TaylorMade could just say for as much exposure as you got us, here's a check for $15,000 for what you would have won. And that could happen. That could have happened.
Right. Without question.
Cause even at the USGA, like, you know, let's say he went to this tournament, he had to stay there for 4 days and play practice rounds and get a rental car and all that stuff. That's thousands of dollars. You can win so much and not be a professional. Well, now you can win so much plus your travel expenses. So
yeah.
Who's to say he wasn't spending $15,000? You know, I mean, you can skirt the
numbers. I don't even want to know.
So yeah, it's good stuff.
It is for sure.
It's good for golf.
It is great for golf, and it's great for the future of golf. It gives people like something to look forward to. It gives people like something to follow on his way up, right? Because it's not every day you really get to truly see someone specific, and it's like, all right, we're gonna follow this guy's journey all the way from
Tiger, Jordan Spieth. That's probably it.
Yeah.
yeah, Scottie Scheffler to some point, but yeah, Tiger and Jordan Spieth, like, mm-hmm. we just knew they were good. They were going to be good.
All right. Well, should we jump back into the CJ Cup Byron Nelson field here and see what we got for some picks?
It's weird not calling it the AT&T Byron Nelson.
I know it is.
30 years.
It is. I had to read it. I had to continue to read it like 3-4 times to make sure. Well, so a question. Super James asks, like, what if TaylorMade just asked him to do a quick commercial?
He could do that.
Yeah.
That he doesn't forfeit his amateur status because that's like a modeling gig. That doesn't have to do with golf winnings.
Right. So this is the big thing, right? When it comes to that stuff. Okay. Like people are getting up in arms about this and how you can't, like, in certain states, right, across the country where you can't receive money for or gifts or whatever for, you know, athletic events and stuff, right? But at the same time, you have all these people who are, you know, in like plays, a musical, choir, like they're going around, they're acting, they're getting paid for all this. They're getting paid for all this stuff. And they're technically amateurs. So why are they allowed to get paid for that stuff?
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. It's a co-curricular. It's an extracurricular, right? Just because it's not necessarily sponsored by your state's like athletic association. Now all of a sudden, oh yeah, that's different. So we're not going to worry about that.
Yeah. There's no way this kid didn't get a check from TaylorMade. I mean, the exposure they gave and the coverage that he got with that TaylorMade staff bag and the hat and everything. Yeah.
I agree that TaylorMade should look into that and they should do that. It, you know, if that's truly the case now, but here on the flip side of things, like if I'm maybe the parent of that kid, maybe I don't want to do that because does that change, you know, does that change anything for him as a golfer? As far as like just getting all that extra exposure and putting more pressure on him as a 15-year-old kid to go out and do his thing, or is he, because he's already that elite at his craft, like it's not really gonna matter?
I think he gets enough when he shows up to a tournament. It's like, oh shit, Miles is here.
Yeah.
It's like that.
I would sure hope so.
He wins everything.
Yeah.
And if you asked any 15-year-old kid that's on his JGA, who's the best junior golfer, they're going to say, oh, no, without a doubt. Like every kid knows who the best kid is.
Mm-hmm. So, now, not everybody's willing to admit that, but everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's jump into our top 20s here. Let's see if I can get something right. I mean,
get closer.
I think I'm getting closer. We'll see. I feel good. We're both going to hit well this week. All right. So I'll start off with my top 20s for this week. I'm going, right away, I'm going Tom Kim at +150. You know, he's a guy that has proven to be able to come out and compete in birdie fests, and like a top 20 doesn't seem all that far fetched for him. You already mentioned his name. Okay. But Tom Hoagie is on there for me at +150. We'll talk more about him in a little while there. I have Keith Mitchell at +180. He's a guy that's been on my list a bunch this year, especially in events like this, just because he's the type of player that has just been playing some really good golf. He played well last week. It just, unfortunately, like didn't have that great of a partner, I'll say, in Damon. But then I have KH Lee at +230. Got to put a defending champ on there. +230 seemed like a pretty good number with him. And then I have David Skins at +600.
Yeah.
He was playing with my boy this last week, Callum Tarrant. And I was impressed, man. I was really impressed with him. I think that he has some skills. You know, I think he's a nice, really nice player. He's kind of a guy that is very hit or miss. I will say that. So, I mean, there's a really good shot that obviously he doesn't make the cut, but I mean, if he does, I think that he can play himself into a top 20 spot. I'm trying to find where I had it, but he had, I believe he started off really strong last year here.
Yeah.
And then kind of, he made it into the weekend and then fizzled out a little bit. I think with more experience for him right now, I think that, especially this year and, you know, having a little bit of experience in playing more this year, I think that that gives him a little bit better shot to potentially find himself inside the top 20. So I like that. Plus 600. That doesn't happen often for me.
No. All right. So kind of going with hot players, top 20, Chris Goddard up at 650. Played good last week. I just think maybe that helped give him a little bit of boost when he's struggling. He's played pretty well in the Corn Ferry too, the few events I've seen. And then Kevin Tway almost won opposite field event, played really good last week at 550, just riding the hot hand. Wesley Bryan at 750. He's played really well on the Corn Ferry also. He's kind of hit or miss out on the big tour, but with kind of a Corn Ferry-esque tour event, I feel like maybe he'll play better. And then Ryan Fox at 320, who's just been sneaking around kind of top 10s area for the last bit. And then Chandler Phillips at 450. Kind of needs some momentum. He's kind of had hit or miss too, but maybe week off, give him a little momentum. So
yeah, sometimes that's like the reset button for people.
Yeah. Especially for guys like that, that got hot for a few weeks and then just did nothing for 2 weeks. And then that's gotta be hard when you're going to the majors for your first time and then playing premier events, just different. So maybe gets back in the groove this week.
All right. Well, into my top 10 here. I'm going to say it.
Spieth.
I do have Jordan Spieth at plus 190. Listen, like, I know he's, I heard some things too about his wrist being bothersome. I'm thinking back to last year, beginning of the year and stuff too, is like his wrist was bothering, but he was playing really well. So maybe the wrist issue gets his mind out of the shitter and he starts playing some golf. But I mean, he has a top 10 in this event already. And then he's also finished a runner up in 22, I believe it was, the Cage Lee, right? I think that maybe a weaker field,
he finally gets that last event clicked off.
Right. I feel like, you know, he's been a make or bust type guy, right? Like he has one top 10, in his last seven starts, which isn't great, but he also has three cuts.
Isn't this the event where the first event he ever played as a high school kid too? I think.
Is it?
I think him, because it's the one where they kind of invite like the amateur, like the best amateur. Scottie Scheffler's played in this one. So yeah.
Well, I think he also knows that like this is a big weekend for him, right? Because it is a weaker field. So he's expected to play well here. Right. And if he can just find something this weekend, he needs that moving forward, because there's, you know, an elevated event and another major coming up right around the corner. Like this is something that he needs to do. And I think he understands that, and being, you know, in his backyard, I think hopefully that helps. I have Spieth at plus 190 for top 10. Let's see here. I have Alex Noren at plus 275. This is a guy that has been lightning. Has he even freaking missed a cut this year? I was looking. He's played in 9 events, 9 cuts made. He's got 6 top 25s. He's got a top 10. He's got a T11. He's got a T14. Like this dude can play, man. And this is the type of field where I think he could win. Then I have Tom Hoagie at plus 320. I have Tom Kim at 320 as well, and then I have Keith Mitchell at plus 360. And you know, back to Noren, I think he might be my favorite guy. I don't want to jinx him here, knock on wood, but you know, it's crazy because he's kind of like that dude. He's got we talked about all those correlated courses, right? All those TPC courses and all that stuff, right? Like he's number one on the week on this week on the board with scoring and placing like within these correlated courses. He's got top five finishes at each of those venues, including a runner up at Port Royal. And then he ranks 17th in the field for both strokes gained approach and putting. He's also sixth on par fours, measuring at 450 to 500. That's going to be a big number to look at this week, because we got six par fours over 465. And then he's top 10. He's eighth, I think, for strokes gained in par five. So and then the last thing too about him is he's a great win player.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He's my guy that I starred, and he's a guy that I feel like is my favorite for this week.
Right on. So yeah, for my top 10s, I also have Spieth at 190, because I thought it seems like pretty safe. He can get a top 10.
I agree.
Especially when you look at the schedule coming up, he needs a good warm-up week, kind of get some momentum. We've got Wells Fargo next week, which is a premiere, then PGA Championship the following week, then a week off, then you have RBC, which a lot of guys go play, and then you've got Memorial, US Open, Travelers, Rock. So it's like jam-packed with just two majors and three premier events in like the next six events. So it's a lot of golf. I thought he just needs something to get going. He needs to tone back the driver. I don't know if he's listening, but he should listen to what we tell him, to tone back the driver and worry about the chipping.
He should, for sure. I agree.
Then I also have Tom Kim at 320, Toasty at 900. Just because he's been pretty steady, like seems like lately, he's kind of just does his business. Then I had Chesson Hadley, because we're at a TPC course, and he plays really well at those TPC tracks at 1,200.
Ooh, 1,200, man.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And then I had Tway and Goddard up both. They're at both at 1,400. Just because I think one of those two guys is gonna get something, but Tway's probably the best one I'd go, because he's been pretty consistent in that top 10.
Yeah. One of them catches fire and just kind of runs up in there second type thing. That could easily happen.
They're both kind of like, I would say like Lucas Glover type players, where if they can get a little momentum, they just seem to keep going and going. And the next thing you know, the guys, you know, Lucas Glover, like winning three out of five events or whatever. So it's not a little bit of long odds, but
yeah,
still makes some good money.
For sure. So my outrights, I'll tell you right now, my outrights are the exact same as my top 10. I have Spieth at plus 1600. I'm just waiting for him to let me down again. You know, it's what it is. I have Alex Noren at plus 2500. Again, another stat on this guy, right? He's got five straight top 25s. Five straight. And if you want to get specific, five straight top 23 or better. Dude's rolling. I have Tom Hoagie at plus 2,800. Felt like 28-1 on Tom Hoagie this week was really nice. He's just a really, really good golfer, man. Like he fits well into this week, and a guy that he's a guy who can go low a couple times and hopefully get the putter rolling a little bit, you know?
Yep.
Tom Kim, I already talked about that at 30-1 plus 3,000, like, maybe gets back to his early tour days, right. And starts just rolling and goes out and shoots a 61 or something like that. And then I do have Mitchell at plus 3,500 to finish it out there.
Nice. Yeah, I have a lot of the same picks. So I had Jaeger at 2,500.
He was my sixth guy. I liked Jaeger a lot. You know, I didn't mention him at all this week, but I kind of figured you would. And so I was like, okay, yeah. I'll go with some different ones, but I like him a lot this week too.
Yeah. And then, I also had Keith Mitchell at 3,500. I just feel like he's on the verge. Like he's got to just get over the hump.
Me too.
Then I have Maverick McNealy at 4,500. Another guy that just needs to get over the hump, but he's been playing well since Augusta, basically. Then Tom Hoagie at 2,800. and then Siwoo Kim at 1800.
Siwoo's kind of
one of the favorites, but
yeah, I know. Hit or miss. I don't hate it. Like Siwoo's just burned me so many times. Like I know I keep going back to Jordan Spieth, but for all of you listening, right? Like Jordan Spieth is my favorite player. And so like, I just can't get away from him, but Siwoo has pissed me off plenty into where I'm just like, you know what? You can go, you know what yourself. Cause I'm just done with him, but he's a dude who can go low and go very low, in back-to-back rounds and like separate himself. And, you know, so I feel like that's not a bad pick by any means. It's a really good pick. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. I feel like it was just a safe bet. So yeah. A lot of big events coming up here next week with Wells Fargo, then PGA Championship at Valhalla. We haven't been there in a while. So we should see Tiger. It's all signs show that he's going to be playing.
I'm excited for the golf world, man.
He was hitting the TV rounds today. He's on Jimmy Fallon last night. He was on Today's show today talking about his Sunday Red that dropped today. He seems like he's pretty good. We've got Charles Schwab, which is a good event. That's in Fort Worth. It's Colonial. So that's another big Texas event. And then RBC.
Yeah, we're ramping up now. We're getting into the heart of the schedule, and it's going to be some exciting golf every single weekend. Not that it hasn't been so far, because it has been, but you're talking about all the big boys playing from here on out, man.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of guys like Rory playing the next 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to play the premier events. He's going to play RBC because he always does. That kind of seems to get a season jump started. And he typically plays Colonial. And he typically plays Traveler. So it's going to be a good stretch coming up. I'm excited because there's going to be a lot of good stuff. And hopefully Scotty's baby got here and everything's good with that. So he can get back to work, because I hope he isn't one of the guys where he lets that get to his game, but I don't think he
lets anything get to him.
No, I mean just like having the baby, and he's like wanting to spend time with the baby, but he needs practice, and then all of a sudden he drops off. We see it a lot when guys have kids, they just don't do anything.
Hopefully his wife understands the assignment.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably given him a few passes the last few weeks when being due this. I think it's due this week, or it was due last week. So,
yeah,
be good to see him back again.
I will be. I think as far as the entertainment side of things, like all the fans are wanting to see Scotty as much as possible. But I think all the rest of the tour players are like, no, Scotty, I think you should take a little. Yeah. Maybe you should take some paternity leave here and let us hold down the fort here for a little bit and let us have a shot coming back at you.
Yeah, he's going to have 3 weeks in a row. Cause I mean, he's got a premier event, then a major, and then he's obviously going to play in Fort Worth. It's basically his backyard.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be fun. Cause like you said, there's a lot of guys who are going to play for like 5 to 7 straight weeks coming up here. And, I don't know. We always, this is when we hit our stride too on the show, and we start really picking winners, and we start really dissecting things. And it's kind of nice too, like going up and down, like you got these big events and then you'll throw like a smaller one in there and everything. It's a lot of fun to look at these up and comers and guys who are kind of, you know, coming in floating under the radar a little bit.
Yeah. I saw somebody had put on, like, I think it was from a podcast where it said, you know, Ted Scott had actually qualified for the tour championship based on his winnings this year. Cause he's, you know, won like $2 million. He's like, I think they said top 20 on the money list or something like that, just from what Scotty's done. So, I mean, Scotty could get to 40 million this year, which is insane.
That's insanity.
I mean, if he wins the end of the year thing, that's, you know, 10 plus, it could be really good for him. You just hope he sticks with it. So,
and I don't see how he doesn't, like, barring injury, right? Like how does he not? He's just been so consistent. Like, and the one thing that kept him from winning more last year was his putting, and his putting has been very good.
He's clearly fixed it.
Yeah. So I mean, what is the hole in his game right now?
I don't know. He drives it really well. Putts well. His irons are probably as good as we've seen since Tiger. Short game's really good. I mean, you'd have to really get into the numbers.
You'd have to really dissect maybe things a little bit.
Maybe some of these other shows, you know, these guys that dig into the numbers more could maybe tell us like what they think his weaknesses statistically, but I don't think there is one.
Well, I mean, let's take a look here quick at his statistics. Okay. Let's look at him here. Let the internet come up here. All right. So, I mean, you look at just like their overall, like strokes gained total, he's first. Strokes gained off the tee, he's first. Strokes gained approach to the green, he's first. He's still 94th in putting. So, like, if you had to look at something, right, as his weakness, sure, it's putting, but his putting average, he's first.
Yeah,
putts per round, he's 22nd. One putt percentage, green, 38th.
Six. It's still sub one, though.
It's crazy. Proximity to the hole, right? Around proximity, like around the green, right? He's first at 34 feet. Scrambling from the rough, he's ninth. I guess his sand save percentage isn't very good.
It's like 90th in driving distance, but he's, you know, third, I think, was his ninth as far as like rank. So
yeah, his total driving is ninth. Driving accuracy, he's ninth.
Yeah, I mean, you could get into it and say like, well, he misses more to the left or to the right, but yeah, there's not. I mean,
sure, not many
from
holes.
Edge of the fairway, he's first.
Looking at all the stats on
greens and reg first, proximity of the hole first. You could hit it closer, maybe. You know, yeah. Like if you go to the numbers, like his weakest number distance is, less than 200. Less than 200 yards. So the 225 to 200 is his weakest point.
Yeah.
But even 175 to 200, he's 21. 150 to 175, he's first. And maybe that 125 to 50. So it's clearly like, so probably his like 8 iron, 7 iron are probably dialed, but his maybe 4 and 5 or 5 and 6. And then his wedge 9 are a little off.
Mm-hmm.
But if you probably went to like, what those distances are, he's probably like 8 inches off the top 10. So
yeah, that's he's just been so impressive, yeah. Man. And it's fun to watch. And anybody, I think, and the best part is, he's a good dude and everybody's cheering for him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, there's no villain in him.
Hey, Smitty. Yeah. Did you guys already give your winners and top tens?
Yep.
Hey, real quick, if you guys are listening over on Spotify, Apple, all the major podcast stuff, we do a live. This is a live show over on Rumble. Normally Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, we switched it. Family stuff happens, but it'll be on Game On channel over on Rumble. And this, I came on to say this because it's not going to make sense when you listen to it on the podcast, but we're going to rumble. We're going to do a rumble raid over on the Millie Goats. So when we end this stream, we're going to send everybody to the Millie Goats. We're going to raid their stream and tell them what up. They're talking a little DFS golf. So if you are listening live right now, I'm throw the rumble raid feature into the chat and it will shoot us all over to their stream.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. They got a good show over there, so go check them out.
Yeah, they really do.
And we're kind of back to back, so it just makes sense.
Yep. They'll dive into the numbers more than we do.
Well, these guys here will dig into the fucking dirt and find the fucking roots of the plus money. I mean, they find the plus money. Those guys over there are going to take your top 15 golfers and they're just going to break them down and they're going to build a lineup for a DFS.
The DFS stuff is a lot different. The strategies are a lot crazier.
But the guys talk golf just like these guys. So yeah, that's a lot of fun. They're good at golf too.
They go off the numbers, we go off the feelings.
Yeah. Which works.
Yeah.
Three seasons running.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah, man, I'm excited. It's going to be a great tournament. I think it's going to be fun to watch some of these guys that people might not pay attention to as much as they normally do. Like I said, it's going to be a great tournament. I'm excited for it.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be good. I'll be watching.
I always love starting off my Thursday mornings.
Yeah.
Watch a little golf.
Yeah, and the good thing about now is, you know, if you have Hulu or the ESPN package, you can watch, or if Peacock, you can watch a lot of the coverage, like first guy off the first tee.
Yep, I love
Thursday
it.
And Friday morning. So you get a lot of coverage. So it's really good stuff with some different announcers that really get into it. So it's good. It's good. I like it. So I'm playing in a tournament this weekend, so I won't be able to watch as much, but I'll catch afternoon rounds. So
I was going to say, you'll probably watch replays and stuff once you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually catch up on the Monday and Tuesday. I'll watch replay rounds, but yeah, I'll be watching the afternoon groups, but Thursdays and Fridays, I usually watch the morning groups. So awesome. Got anything else?
Nah, man, I'm good to go. Let's make it our first big week. We're striding together with a lot of our picks this week, which usually bodes well for us. So knock on wood, let's have a great week.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Check us out on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all the podcast formats, Rumble, YouTube. You can follow me at AMillerPGA, and you can follow Smitty at C Smith with an F and an 8. Fuck it, dude. Let's go bowling.
Thanks for listening to Plus Money Golf. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, keep up with the show on Facebook and Instagram at Plus Money Golf and on Twitter at PSR Golf. Until next time.